Would you like to start us off, Sonia?
Good idea.
Give Andrew a break, have water, rest the vocal cords. The gift of tongues. Yes, what is the gift of tongues?
We actually wrote something out on definition of tongues as well. Tongues is, or can be seen as, God-inspired speech in words that are not of a language that you understand, unless someone has interpreted them.
Boom, nice. Yep. Follow-up question. Languages that you don't know, meaning just human languages that you don't know for the sake of spreading the gospel, or unknown human languages and or quote-unquote angelic languages?
So in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So there it infers or suggests that it could possibly be something other than human languages.
You're right, Lily.
It's just a really funny verse, that one, apparently. They'd love to see it. And so with the gift wrapped up in its definition, its purpose, you mentioned before the building up of self, whereas, you know, other gifts, building up the church. So how does, like, what is its wider purpose, and how does the building up of self fit into Paul's building up the church thing? That's a big question.
That wasn't a big rest. Because I think building up of self indirectly builds up the body. So while it doesn't directly build up the body, it does indirectly. And I would, because the strength of the body is the sum of the parts. So if I am stronger, the body is stronger as long as I am connected to the body, which is the key bit. So if I'm just doing my thing, speaking in tongues, without any engagement with other giftings or ministry within the body, so I'm just building myself up, it doesn't have a body element. And so it's not actually being used as it should be used. It's a little bit like, it might be different, but it's a little bit like private prayer versus corporate prayer. People probably might or might not like that analogy, because we think, I can just pray on my own. I don't need to be praying, you know. But again, isn't it great when we're actually praying with each other, hearing what each other is praying, joining together, being able to say amen together? There's a definite sense in which we're building up the body over and above individual prayer. Now, again, we would, in our Western thinking individual prayer is probably more important than corporate prayer, but if we go back to the building up of the body being more important than the building up of self, we could argue, couldn't we, that corporate prayer is actually more important than individual prayer. We could, if you wanted to.
Topic for next
and I'm not,
time.
The topic for next time. Yeah.
We are
just
having a prayer coming
just
up.
Just a thought.
Yeah, no, cool. So what are the tongues? I was gonna say look like, but it's more like what even is it? You know, because like I'm asking that on behalf of those like myself, I've heard it probably once when I was younger and didn't float my boat, and I was just really distracted and annoyed. And so just for like those that haven't like necessarily been in a setting where it's a common thing, like how would you describe what it is? You're just like, wow, that's a strange language. We've heard that one before.
Can I ask your context that it annoyed you?
Well, I'm just
corporate setting.
Yes, corporate setting. Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So unless it is accompanied by an interpretation, it says in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians that we are to remain silent and to pray in tongues privately.
Oh, it's back. No, it's just fading in and out, just for fun. Nice. So in corporate, if there's no interpretation, no tongues, well, shouldn't be. And then there's also that personal time of tongues you were saying. So is that like prayer, worship, bit of both? Just because coming from someone that doesn't know.
I would say it's a bit of both. Yes, because it does bypass the understanding, and it says also in the same chapter that it is tongues, or the unknown language, is praying, talking to God. So we are, I believe, we are magnifying the Lord. We are speaking out, pouring out words that expound on the wonders of who God is, you know, and the marvellous God that we have. So, yeah, we are magnifying God, making much of God, but we are bypassing our understanding.
Cool.
Which is what it says in Acts chapter 2, that they were magnifying the works of God, I think, when they were speaking in tongues. So they were, those speaking in tongues were speaking a language that they didn't understand, but other people there did understand it because they knew the language, and they testified that they were talking about the magnifying the deeds of God. So often that is what tongues is. In fact, it says that chapter 14, verse 6, "Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching?" It almost kind of, you could almost say that, and then it talks about tongues down further being the giving of thanks. I think that's in verse 17. So it's kind of like tongues can take different, you're saying different things, but of course you don't know what you're saying. Unless you have an interpretation.
Nice.
Yeah.
How would you know that, like, you have the gift? Like, does it just... Because I guess, is it one of those ones where you're like, it's like more subtle? Or is it more like, oh my goodness, this is happening? From your experiences. I don't know.
So, you know what I mean? Sonia is going to give her testimony of speaking in tongues.
Experience.
Here we go.
Personal experience.
So, when I was 19, I went to a young adults camp way up in the Bay of Islands, and I was just a very young, I guess, new seeker to the Lord. I'd been brought up Catholic, as Andrew had said, and it wasn't until my 19th year that I was really earnestly seeking God. And at the camp, there was an opportunity after the speaker spoke to come forward. It was basically an altar call. And this was my first ever, like, public, I guess, testifying to God and wanting to make a commitment to following him as best I could. And at that time, there was a whole lot of us up the front, and someone, I think it might have been the speaker, encouraged us to seek the gift of tongues as well. There were a few different things that were going on, and so I was praying privately, and then it just came out and I didn't understand the words. But it was like to me, I took that as a confirmation of my I guess, my conversion. Yeah. And it can be different experiences for different people. We have another story or account of it happening different. Would you like to share that one, Andrew?
Yeah, I won't say who it is, but someone I know extremely well. They had been a Christian for quite a while, but had just was really seeking God, and it was in the context of kind of a lot of teaching around tongues, so we can talk about that in a minute, but and this person was actually went for a run, so just by themselves, went for a run, good healthy run, and just kind of got overwhelmed by the need to seek God, be filled by God, and basically as they were praying, just began speaking in another tongue that they knew that they didn't know, but just began speaking. Yeah. So my own testimony is that I don't speak in tongues. And although I sought it probably as much as anybody, probably the same time, Sonia and I we just started going out when that happened. As she said, that was her first public declaration, but had, moved from the Catholic thing to a personal relationship with Christ, but just felt she hadn't needed to make a public declaration at that meeting, which she did. And I was pretty niffed that she got the gift of tongues so easily, where I had been seeking God for it,
unfair.
And me being a mature Christian, I was like, what the heck, God's obviously got that wrong. but I think it does say that God distributes the big gifts as he decides, and I think, I think it was really good in hindsight that God didn't give me the gift, because I did seek it, probably overseek it for a couple of years, and that came a lot out of the teaching that we had around tongues at the time, which was way out of balance, in my view, about, not actually saying that you had to speak in tongues to be a Christian, but it was getting very close to that, which is so wrong, because tongues is a gift, one of the gifts, and it's, you could argue it's actually one of the lesser gifts, but a genuine gift nonetheless, and God does give it to people as he sees fit. And just another testimony about this, which is real sad testimony, that at the same time as, without giving too much away, another person who we don't know, but the person that I just talked about, they knew very well, and so the testimony has come from them. And so what happened is this other person actually came from a very conservative Christian background, began to speak in tongues, and this young lady actually also had the gift of interpretation. So she, which I'd never heard of before, of having the gift and the gift of interpretation. So she would speak in tongues, not always, but often know what she was saying, and she would give. I don't know a lot of the words that she gave, but she gave one word to this other person that I was talking about. I'm trying not to give anyone away to all these people, which was spot on accurate. So it was a genuine gift in terms of accuracy. And this person, going back to her home church context, was basically told it was of the devil. It's not a genuine gift. And so we're going back 30 plus years now. And basically that derailed that person's Christianity, because the church basically rejected that gift in her, and she doesn't walk with the Lord today still. And yet at the time she basically had become a Christian because she'd been in a very traditional church where she really hadn't found God. She'd found this experience, knowing God was real, coming back to home church, just so enthusiastic and so excited about God. And basically that was, I won't use the word whipped, but maybe close to it, out of her, and so discouraged, and so she just walked away from the church. It's a good note to...
That was a happy note to finish on, wasn't it?
Well, it's just a reality, isn't it, that we need to be really careful around these gifts, that we can say, oh, I don't believe in the gift, it's not so... Because if we believe, and this is something we need to be really careful of, because if we believe in cessationism, that the gifts aren't for today, if we hold to that, and then somebody starts operating in these gifts, what do you determine is happening here? Well, actually what you determine, which is what this church had determined, that it was satanic, that it was actually not the Spirit of God. And then there's some big issues around that, isn't there? So the theology in this is actually massive, that we don't, we've got to remember that this can have real life impact on people's Christian walk.
And the interpretation of tongues, any, want to speak into that gift? Because it is tacked on in there in the...
So it's tacked on.
It's like...
Literally
it's
tacked on.
There. It's just tacked on in there in the end there. Any comment on it?
Well, I think if someone speaks in tongues, it's an interesting scripture actually here, because it says in a public setting, again, 1 Corinthians 14, with verse 28. Oh, if we go up further, it should start 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God. So what that's saying is that we actually shouldn't even release a tongue in a public setting unless we know that there is someone in there with the gift to interpret it. That's how I'm reading that, because it's saying don't even just speak in tongues and give it a go, thinking, oh, I hope someone's here to interpret it publicly. It's actually indicating here that unless we know that it can be interpreted and that the gift is operating in the church, we shouldn't speak in tongues.
Nice and straightforward.
And so well, it is straightforward, isn't it? Because... Oh, we've got a question. Well, I think that's the issue that we have. Obviously, the way that...
Repeat the question.
Oh, yes, the question is...
the question. Sheree asked, just so that the people listening can know who asked the question, it's a bit more fun. Sheree asked, how is a person who feels that the Lord has given them a tongue, how are they to know if there is someone with the gift of interpretation? Because... Well, I guess you've got lots of scenarios, like they have to, like, declare it from the front, or the person that has the gift of interpretation might be like, I'm not going to put my hand up. So how would you advise that situation? And maybe in a context of a church that's not used to operating in tongues.
And I think that's the issue, isn't it? So if you're in a church where tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy are kind of normified, let's just say, so they're a part of body life, which is how I think 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 kind of describe these gifts, then it's actually not difficult to know if there's someone that has that gift in the midst of you, because it's a gift that kind of gets used and people interpret. And there's the difficulty of that is how do we get the bus moving? That's a great question, and I don't know whether I've got an answer to that. Oh, here we go. Yes. Yeah. So that anyone that's correct, anyone that speaks in tongue doesn't speak to people but to God. However, if the interpretation is there, and the gift is operating in conjunction with the interpretation, then it does edify the church, as Paul says later on. So it's a little bit of both there. But it is a good question of how does, and we'll use COV as an example. I'm trusting God that he would reveal these things when the time, if we are going to move in the direction of operating in the gifts, which I think as a church we should be encouraging and wanting to move in, then we've got to trust the journey that God is taking us on, and that he will, reveal that there are people amongst us who can interpret. And it can be, as in the case of the story that I told, that the person that has the tongue can also interpret. Because in another place it actually says that those who speak in tongues should actually desire to be able to interpret. So maybe the way it starts off is that God gives someone both gifts at once, so that they know that they can speak in tongues as well as interpret, and then anybody from then on who brings a tongue knows that there is someone that has the gift of interpretation also. I don't know, I'm just wondering.
Are the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, are they abiding gifts? Like you've done it once, so you've got it, kind of thing? What do you think about that, the abiding of the gift?
Well, God's gifts are without repentance, it does say. So I think when he does give us a gift, there's nothing in Scripture that I can see that indicates that the gifts come and go. To me, he gives a gift. So we can cease to use a gift, and we can cease to develop a gift, and we can let a gift grow dormant. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gifts that are within you. So there was that encouragement that he had to stir them up. And I do know of people who have had a gift of tongues as an example, because if we go back 35 years, maybe even longer, it was such a big thing in certain aspects, in certain areas of the church. A lot of people got disgruntled because of the overemphasis of some of these gifts, and so they actually almost ceased to operate in them and to seek them. Yet, I would say that they can be dormant because we're not being, just being active in them. But I would say that they're still there, and we can reawaken them, stir them up, and
cool. Yeah. Because I just like when you said like, now they know that someone's got it. I was like, ah, the abiding question. Any other questions from the audience about tongues? Oh, there's so many questions. I love it. Go, Hannah. Oh, yeah, for the recording. Hannah asked both Andrew and Sonia how they would speak into someone's life where they've experienced overemphasis in certain movements. Gifts have been pushed rather aggressively, I guess you could say, in some places, onto people. And I guess it's kind of like what you said before, where it's kind of like, oh, if you don't speak in tongues, you're probably not really even a Christian. And so then people are hurt by that. And so how would you speak into that and how to bring in the gifts into a setting with people that have suffered on the overemphasis side of things? A bit of like, yeah, how do we reconnect with the gifts after they've been smashed over us?
I would possibly look at verse 1 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. That just that first little bit, just to bring back a bit of the balance, bit of the focus back on the Lord rather than on the giving or the seeking of the gifts. Yeah, seek the Lord, not the, you know, the one who gives you the gifts, not the giver, not the gifts, but the giver.
Yeah. I think I think discussions like this are really good, because I think it's first and foremost getting things back in a what I'd call a biblical balance. It can be really helpful. But I think one of the things that has really is impacting me, even now, is how God hasn't given these gifts like, the church hasn't got anything to do. I think I'll just give them a few things to kind of give them something to do in their spare time. You know, they're actually gifts that build up the body. They're actually gifts that we need. Paul is not saying we don't need these. He's actually saying earnestly desire them. Because if we're not operating in these, there is a sense of building up and encouragement and development that is not happening in us as a corporate. And I think it can leave us help me with a word. Yeah, wanting in certain areas. Because I think if you look at we were talking about the gift of prophecy, where it can reveal the secrets of somebody's heart, where they can fall on the ground, it says it in Corinthians 1 Corinthians 14, and acknowledge that surely God is here. So we kind of can over intellectualize our Christianity and not kind of dismiss these gifts because of the abuse of them, and yet used correctly, I think they are just so encouraging. I've found them encouraging in my own life when people have prophesied or a word of wisdom or knowledge to me. And I know sometimes, we've potentially said things to others that have been really encouraging to them because you feel like this is a God thing. Imagine if we were operating in that out of love, so there's no abuse in it, and there's no, these are the most important things in the world. It's just this gentle growing in our ability to operate in the gifts that God has given us. And so Hannah, you'll have gifts that God has given you. Nikita needs you. She does. She does. But I need you. I need what you have, because God gives it because it is for the whole body. See, by us going into our shells and running for the hills, we are actually depriving the whole body if we're not operating in them. So it's not just about me being hurt or not hurt. It's actually about, okay, God, I've been hurt, but I also know you've given me gifts, and these gifts are actually really essential for the body to grow and prosper. Yeah. Is that helpful? Cool. I don't know.
Akita.
Don't give me a hard one.
Yeah. Akita's asking about the private speaking in tongues. How does it build you up? Because I guess what we talked about before is that we don't know what we're saying. So you're like, how do those two equal building up of self? Mm. Yep.
I was going to just add, just put in a little question. We don't actually know, because of the mysteries that we are speaking in an unknown language to ourselves that bypasses our own understanding, and God would understand that. We also don't really know what it does in the spiritual realm as well, as we declare who God is and the character and the attributes, and we lift him up. What that actually does, any effect, any impact that has in the spiritual realms, and I'm suggesting, or at least, you know, heading towards that it does actually do something. So it's not always just about the body, edifying the body. You know, God is the centre of everything, and we're here for him to extend his kingdom. And if we're a healthy body, corporate body, well, then that helps in that. But we must remember that we're only, we're just part of the picture, and God is, you know, he is everything. So when we are actually extolling him, it pleases his heart, I'm sure. It honours him, but it also declares in the spiritual realms where we stand and, you know, who God is, and, yeah, that whole thing.
And I think another aspect of that is, and I'll connect it back to prayer, because you could say tongues is an effect of prayer language. So when we pray, or our motivation to pray is actually comes out of faith, because we actually believe that God is hearing. I'm talking about like prayer and like prayer meetings or whatever, because we actually believe that God is listening, that God answers, that God is doing something. So we don't necessarily come to prayer meetings because, woohoo, you know, it's like all fuzzies, warm fuzzies. Often prayer is actually hard work, but what we do is we do it in faith, because God says he pray. It delights him when we pray, and it delights him to answer and to listen to his saints. Same with worship or anything like that. And I'd say tongues is similar to that. So while you might not... because it's bypassing our mind, it's kind of a faith thing. God doesn't give us these gifts. It says in his word that he does give it for your building up. So you trust God that he is doing that in your spirit when you are speaking in tongues. It is a faith position, as are most of the gifts in one shape or form. Yeah, because often we can kind of like, oh, we don't do things because we don't feel like it's doing anything or effective, but actually that's not a good position to operate out of. It's got to be a faith position. God's word says that speaking in tongues builds me up. And Paul actually says in there, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He's like, you know, just to throw that in there.
He throws a lot in there, doesn't he?
Yeah. And you think if someone didn't need to build himself up, it could be Paul, but actually he recognised the significance of the gift. Yeah. Is that all right?
Oh, cool. Any other? Oh, back to Ruth. Ruth asked many questions. So three multi-part questions. First one was for Sonja, to quote Ruth, about the stirring up of the gifts in oneself. One at a time, yes. Is the gift of tongues something that you stir up in yourself, or is that more spontaneous, comes from God in the moment?
So I haven't publicly spoken in tongues, if that's partly what you're asking. I just operate in it regularly, privately, just whatever I'm doing. If I'm driving or in my own, like, quiet devotional times, like, sort of a focus. not in road rage, no. Yeah, so those are the times. And also, I might add, times when I just feel absolutely over the moon at what God has done, and so I just have a heart to pray, and I might pray, like, in my mind, you know, with my understanding, and praise Him, and then I might sort of switch into that. Other times I'm in just such anguish over a certain thing, and I'll also switch into that as well. So it's not just like when I'm glad, but when I feel bad, or maybe not mad, but
probably when she's mad at me.
Doesn't want Andrew to hear the prayers.
But I really do feel like it's a God connection. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
And what was the second part?
I think the second part was also answered about speaking publicly. That was answered satisfactory to you. Bruce, happy with that? And then the third one was corporately speaking in tongues. Bruce shared about a time where corporately she's experienced when everyone was encouraged to do it at the same time, and she was kind of like, ooh, I don't know about that. How would you speak into that? People encouraging lots of people to give it a go, etc.
So did you also say there have been times when that's happened that you've thought that it's been a real God experience? Is that what I... Or not particularly. Mm. Yes, sometimes, maybe. Unsure. Yes and no. Yeah. So the way that I would answer that, having experienced the same thing, a couple of ways. The main reason why we are not to speak in tongues without an interpreter is actually because people could be in there thinking, you guys are nuts. It actually basically says that. So it's not actually whether we're getting something out of it or not. It's actually realising we have taken people to a church in that setting who weren't Christians or seekers, and they were out of there. They're like, that is the craziest, weirdest thing. Now, we can kind of laugh, but it's actually really sad, because immediately they're put off, not because of the gospel and who Christ is, but because of this weird thing that Christians are doing. Now, does that mean that if you did it corporately, that God doesn't use it? Potentially he does, but he still says don't do it. He's not, you know, you might have experienced, some people might have experienced God in that, but it's really selfish, in my opinion, because what it's saying is, I'm experiencing God. I actually don't care whether there's someone in here that doesn't understand it or not, or whether I'm putting somebody else off the Christian faith because of it, because to me, it's doing something for me, so let's all speak in tongues. And we're actually ignoring what's very clear in 1 Corinthians 14. So I'd say under no circumstances should that happen. That's what I would say. And being honest, should I say this? Yes, I'll say this. I always get myself into trouble when I go home, obviously. But I was saying to Sonia tonight, she knows what I was going to say. And she's in the bedroom prepping, and I came in and I said, tonight, do you want to give us a demonstration? She's like, no. No interpretation. And that's actually a good answer. That is actually a good answer. Because I think that's the right answer.
Unless someone does.
Unless someone. Anyone? Has, here no, we go. No.
Throw it out there. Just in case.
Because again, we've got to be really careful with these gifts and stuff like that, that we are operating in an orderly manner according to Scripture. And again, I know that, because I think, being honest, we have a lot of people here at COV from Pentecostal charismatic backgrounds, and the reason that they're here is because of the, similar to what Hannah was saying, the extremities and the damage that's been done in various shapes and forms because these things have been taken out of biblical context and order. And that's sad because I think that the church is still mopping up a lot of the and continues to do so in that space. And as I say, we've experienced that where we've had people taken, you know, actually really interested in Christianity, wanting to come along to church and just would never walk into a church in that shape or form again. And that's like, that is so sad. So sad. Yeah. Was that all the questions? Was in something else in there? No.
No, okay. No, there's a fourth question. Nice and simple. Would you walk out if you felt that?
No, I didn't. But I think being very... I think there's a couple of things you have in this setting, being honest. One, I think if this is your conviction, that this is what... I think the scriptures are real clear on it. I think that should be presented to the leadership of the church just to say, look, this just seems so clear to me. And yet, and this is the reason why, and this is the concerns around it. So I think that's the first port of call, is to do that. If it's a practice, because the sad thing is, like, again, I look at it in a, with my hat on at the moment, so trying to reach a Roslyn community, if I was bringing people to, if COV practiced everyone speaking in tongues, I would not want anyone from the community to be coming in. I would be like, no, don't come. You know, now, that's not evangelism. That's not a safe place for, in my opinion, to bring people into who are seeking or seekers. And I think that's massive in a church context. So it's not just this little bit that's talking about a gift being not used properly, but I think you have to then weigh up, is this a safe environment to disciple people and bring people into? And that becomes a personal decision that you have to wrestle with yourself. Because it might be that God still wants you to be there because, it's seeking God on it. Because all churches have got their... not ideals. what was that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, just say it as it is, Ruth. Ideals. Don't beat around the bush. Yeah, love yeah.
It. Cool. Any final comments before we close in a prayer? Everyone happy? Everyone happy? Everyone happy? Oh, right at the end. Amy's asking a question. Oh. Amy asking how you discern if you actually have the gift, specifically in the context of someone's prayed it over you and you might be desiring it, so you sort of make it happen in a sense, or might be more psychological, I don't know. So how do you discern if you're driving it yourself or if it's like God given? I think that's the question. Is that a question? Perfect. Boom.
It's a good question. Andrew might also want to add to this as well. For me, it's a well, it was a step of faith. So I'm trusting God that I am doing something that is genuine and authentic. It was not a forced thing or anything that I had to strive to do. So that's, to me, a bit of an indication or a bit of a confirmation. And I think also it didn't feel off as well. Even in my young, like immature state, it didn't feel off or wrong. And I went back to the Bible and I talked about it with other people who I trust as well afterwards, and I sought counsel. So it wasn't just something I did like on my own and then away I went. Yeah.
Testimony of someone else that kind of had a tongue and kind of wondered whether, like at the time, because this is the thing with, I think anything that happens in a God sense, we can very quickly doubt it. Do you know what I mean? We can have something genuinely happen, and then we just kind of almost forget what God has done. There's so much in the scripture that says, remember, 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 both New and Old Testament. And in this particular testimony, this person spoke in tongues, genuine, like, wasn't just way they went. And then, it's roughly how it happened, anyway. It kind of disappeared, feeling like, was it genuine, was it not? Because you kind of can get into that space. And then they were praying that God would affirm and kind of bring it back, because it wasn't like, I don't feel like they lost it, because I don't think that's the case, but I think God was reaffirming that this was real to them, and then God did it, kind of reaffirmed, and they began speaking in tongues again. It's like, okay, right, there's a difference in themselves between them making it up, and the problem that we have, or had, and this is where I think the abuse thing comes in, and I experienced this. I had so many people, because in the context that I was speaking in tongues was such a big thing. And it's like, come up the front if you want to speak in tongues. I went to a few older calls, and so they'd lay their hands on you, and it's like, just start speaking. I'm like, okay, bad, 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 bad. And I'm like, this is crazy, because this is, you know, and what they're encouraging you to do is actually almost make up a gift and make up words and then say, oh, I'm now speaking in tongues. Actually, if it's coming from our spirit, which is what the speaking in tongues is, it's a spirit overflow, passing by our mind, it should just flow out, as Sonia said. Mm-hmm. It's not a forced thing. It's actually something that does, it's much more, yeah, you just get that sense that, man, this is God doing something. And it's kind of, I don't know whether it's the same, because I only know it in a prophetic sense, when I feel like God almost drops something into my spirit. And it's like, I'm not even thinking about this, or it's not on my radar. Although sometimes it is on my radar, and God just affirms it in a sense of feeling His presence or His anointing is all over it. And then you know, just affirming it. But I think, again, the reason we're asking these questions is often because of the way we've been encouraged into it, and when it's more of a genuine gift, like Sonia, who probably wasn't hardly seeking it at all. It just kind of happened. It's like, just oh golly, where did this come from? You know, so it wasn't, yeah. I guess there's more of a, this is a real God thing, rather than this is man trying to make me do something. And we see that in Acts, when they spoke in tongues, it wasn't someone, okay, now just start speaking and, you know, there was none of that. It's just like, they might have been prayed for the Holy Spirit, and they would just like tongues would happen. Yeah. Is that kind of helpful?
Cool. Oh, Toshi, bring down the house.
Oh yes, Ed.
Oh, I need the mic. Need the mic. Coming to you.
Yeah, no, you have a thought.
Yeah.
You know, tongue is, when you speak in tongue, it builds you up or something like that. Is that right? Is that what you said? So I wonder, tongue, if it comes from God, as a result of that, your relationship with the Lord will be deepened some way, or your prayer life will be more life in it. Also, you know how Andrew just said about prophecy. I don't think he can actually explain with the words properly because it's all spiritual. So he will know it. It is God. If he experiences more and more, he can tell it is God because become familiar. So same as tongue, when you speak in tongue, your sensitivity to spirit becomes sharper. I just do wonder that tongue is from God. But if it's not, very soulish, it just, there's no sense of life as you speak. You feel like you are making up something. And like Sonia said, I didn't feel odd or something like that. So I think it's only person themselves can judge, I think.
Cool, yeah. And I think the other thing about these gifts that we need to remember, because sometimes we can think, oh, prophecy, surely if I hear a prophecy, I'm going to be falling on my face and I don't know. You know, it's going to be this amazing experience or stuff like that. But what we've got to remember is even under the Old Testament prophets, which were spot on accurate, what happened? Israel walked away. Wouldn't recognize them. Isn't that interesting? So you can't think, oh man, if this was a real prophecy, everybody's going to be, whoa, that's so amazing. You know, we actually have to be really discerning around these things because prophets New and Old Testament were rejected time and time and time again. And yet, as we know, they were prophesying at times the very word of God, and yet the recipients of them were like, nah, because of a hardness of heart. And I think that's the thing. We actually need to be really careful when we're talking about these gifts because we can actually become very hard towards them. And so we can be like, nah, don't believe in prophecy. Don't care what anybody says. So we just shut God down. Again, we just need to be careful because if these are, and I know people hold a cessation view, again, can't see it in scripture myself, but we just need to be careful because you can actually be missing a lot of what God wants to do in you because you are immediately just not open to God speaking to you. And the cool thing about God is if you want or feel encouraged to seek him, earnestly desire some of these gifts, is he's such a gentleman. You know, he's not going to like, okay, you're going to stand up in church and I don't know, maybe he would, but but my experience is that he grows us in them and he is very gentle in the way he does that. So I just encourage an openness. And if you do take a cessationist position, again, this is partly to people who may listen to this, to really go back to scripture and ask if that is a genuine position and why you're taking it and whether it is where you should land. Because it does have quite big implications around a lot of the things we're talking about.
Cool. Nice. Well, close and pray now. And we'll have some more snacks and more drink. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for saving each one of us and bringing us into your body, Lord. We just thank you that, as it says in your word, you've positioned each member of the body according to your will. We've been baptized into the one body, and we are members of one another. And so we just thank you for that corporate reality, Lord. And as Andrew touched on, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to realize how much we need the body, Lord, and how much the body needs us. That we are to be fully united, one accord, one mind. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to escape our individualism. And a part of that, Lord, is to better understand the gifts that you've given us and that you've given other people. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would stir up our hearts to be sensitive to your spirit, to the gifts that you have implanted in us. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us the boldness to approach those gifts and to fan the flame, as it says in your word. We just pray that you would guide us in that, Lord. Give us each discernment of what is from you, what is not from you. We just pray that you would give us a heart and an attitude of love to each other as others around us also begin to walk in their giftings as well, Lord. And so we just pray that in all things that you would be glorified in what we say and we do. And we just commit all these things to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.